There is a legend that in lost Atlantis once stood a great university in the form of an immense flat-topped pyramid from which star observations were made. In this university, most of the arts and sciences of the present world were contained. Putting aside that pleasant fancy, which we can find clearly reflected on the obverse of our American Great Seal, almost any early utopia holds a profusion of inside information about things to come. In 1641, Bishop John Wilkins, founder of the Royal Society, wrote his own utopia, Mercury, or the Secret and Swift Messenger. Every single invention Wilkins imagined has come about. A flying chariot, a trunk or hollow pipe that shall preserve the voice entirely, a code for communicating by means of noisemakers, etc. Japhantia, by De La Roche, unmistakably envisions the telephone, the radio, television, and dehydrated foods and drinks. Even the mechanisms suggested to make these things work are very like the actual ones eventually employed. Marshall McLuhan once called on us to notice that all machines are merely extensions of the human nervous system, artifices which improve on natural apparatus, each a utopianization of some physical function. Once you understand the trick, utopian prophecy isn't so impressive. Equally important, says McLuhan, the use of machinery causes its natural flesh-and-blood counterpart to atrophy, hence the lifeless quality of the utopias. Machines dehumanize, according to McLuhan, wherever they are used and however sensible their use appears. In a correctly conceived demonology, the devil would be perceived as a machine, I think. Yet, the powerful, pervasive influence of utopian reform thinking on the design of modern states has brought about utopian mechanization of all human functions into the councils of statecraft and into the curriculum of state schooling. An important part of the virulent, sustained attack launched against family life in the United States, starting about 150 years ago, arose from the impulse to escape fleshly reality. Interestingly enough, the overwhelming number of prominent social reformers since Plato have been childless, usually childless men, in a dramatic illustration of escape discipline employed in a living tableau.